time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
You know, it's a noble thing when someone wants to give their life for their country, when someone's willing to go overseas, fight for our country, fight for our liberties, defend our freedoms. And yet, in America today, if you're openly homosexual, you cannot serve in the military. And as of today, there is a move afoot on the heels of President Obama's State of the Union speech to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Is this a good move or a bad move? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me your comments at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, as always, I want to give you both sides of the issue. As best as I can, I want to present some of the arguments for keeping Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and for removing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. First, let me find a quote here from a rabbi. Orthodox Jewish Rabbi Yehuda Levin gave a powerful speech at a pro-life rally a couple weeks ago in D.C. Now he's issued a warning on behalf of almost 1,000 rabbis in the Rabbinical Alliance of America, warning, by all means, do not repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He said, we plead with saner heads in Congress and the Pentagon to stop sodomization of our military and our society. Enough is enough. Look at what he says. 13 months before 9/11, on the day New York City passed homosexual domestic partnership regulations, I joined a group of rabbis at a city hall prayer service pleading with God not to visit disaster on the city of New York. We've seen the underground earthquakes, tsunami, Katrina, and now Haiti. All this is in sync with the 2,000-year-old teaching in the Talmud that the practice of homosexuality is the spiritual cause of earthquakes. Once a disaster is unleashed, innocents are also victims, just like in Chernobyl. Wow. Some would call that hate speech. Others would call that a prophetic warning. So let's talk about this and get your feedback. Got a bunch of interesting feedback to yesterday's program about the Super Bowl ad, the Tim Tebow ad being aired during the Super Bowl pro-life ad. We'll get to some of that. And something else that I'm really excited about to be holding in my hands. In fact, my hand is sitting on it right now, even as I'm speaking. And I'll talk to you about that in a moment. Share the good news with you. Okay. First, let me give the side that perhaps we're not used to hearing about Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. Do you know that countries that allow open homosexuals to serve in the military include Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, out of a list of, what, 31 nations here, just giving you some of them, Finland, France, Germany, Israel. Israel has one of the finest militaries, if not the finest in terms of efficiency in the world. And they've had homosexuals serving openly now for over a decade and a half. Italy, Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway. I mean, these are certainly enlightened nations here. Countries like the Philippines and Romania and South Africa and Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, England, United Kingdom. According to Wikipedia, so take this perhaps with a grain of salt, but I think these facts are accurate. Israel Defense Forces policies, IDF, allow gay men and lesbians to serve openly and without discrimination or harassment due to actual or perceived sexual orientation. Let's see. Homosexuals serve openly in the military, including special units, without any discrimination. Moreover, gays in the IDF have additional rights, such as the right to take a shower alone if they want to. According to a University of California Santa Barbara study, a brigadier general stated that Israelis show a great tolerance for gay soldiers. Consul David Stronger at the Israeli consulate in New York, who was interviewed by the St. Petersburg Times, said it's a non-issue. You can be a very good officer, a creative one, a brave one, and be gay at the same time. So they would say, look, we want to serve in the military. We want to be patriotic, even though we feel that many things in America are against us, and same-sex marriage is not yet recognized. I'm giving you this from the gay-lesbian perspective. We're patriotic people, those that want to serve in the military. We're willing to go and put ourselves in harm's way. And we just don't want to have to lie about who we are or deny who we are or suppress who we are. Let us serve our country. How can you be so discriminatory when we're willing to help save lives? The other side, and then we'll get to, say, a spiritual perspective. The other side would say, look, as Senator John McCain has argued, don't ask, don't tell is working fine. It's imperfect, but it's working fine. And if someone's sexual orientation is not an issue, let's not make an issue out of it or draw attention to it. Let's simply let the policy stand as is. And hey, look, you don't have men and women rooming together. You don't have men and women showering together. You don't have men and women sharing their lives on that intimate level together because there could be sexual attraction and because there could be romantic attraction in that setting and because people could get distracted from what their purpose is. And hey, if here's a straight man, he knows the guy showering with him is a gay man. He could be uncomfortable because potentially there's arousal or romantic attraction as you're, you know, bunking together or whatever the situation is. Just like heterosexuals would be attracted, well, homosexuals would be attracted. So, you know, it's going to discourage morale. It's going to make people not want to fight. And it's going to make sexual orientation an issue, whereas right now it isn't an issue. Some of those who are critical of the study are concerned. They say that they're going to have to be special housing arrangements. And then, you know, what about couples? And are we going to have to recognize couples and so on and so forth? Report by Nima Reza, managing editor on CitizenLink.com, says both the U.S. House and the Senate will hold hearings on homosexuals serving in the military. And by the way, this is something ultimately that Congress has to decide. But Robert Gates has weighed in. Our Defense Secretary Robert Gates has weighed in saying, hey, let's do it. I fully support the president's decision. The question before us is not whether the military prepares to make this change, but how we best prepare for it. Admiral Mike Mullen, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staffs, echoed these remarks, saying changing the policy is the right thing to do. He said, I cannot escape being troubled by the fact that we have in place a policy that forces young men and women to lie about who they are in order to defend their fellow citizens. For me personally, he said, it comes down to integrity, theirs as individuals and ours as an institution. But again, this is up to Congress to decide. The Pentagon will not directly make that decision. So Nima Gates says that Senate Armed Services Chairman Carl Levin, scheduled to hold a hearing tomorrow, Representative Susan Davis, Democrat, California, said her subcommittee will hold a hearing on the policy, etc. Retired Air Force Colonel Bill Spencer said the law is working and should be left alone. It's not really about sexual orientation. It's about mission orientation. It's about putting the mission first ahead of self. Retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis said the country doesn't need any more contentious debates right now. Having homosexuals serve openly in the military would bring more social policy problems to people defending our country. Quote, we'd have to open up the floodgates to homosexual marriage in the military and use of family quarters. Some would say, come on, all these other countries are doing things and it's fine. And their armies are as strong as ever. And everything's all right. Why does America have to be so hung up? Why does America have to be so homophobic? Come on, you know, do we want to join countries like Cuba and China and Iran and North Korea and Pakistan and Russia and Saudi Arabia and Syria and Yemen, countries that don't allow homosexuals to serve open in the military? You want to join with them? Others would say, hey, look, this is something spiritual. This is something where we want God's blessing. And the more we open the doors to legitimize and normalize homosexuality, the less we have his blessing. And then, of course, you have the extreme hate voices like those of Fred Phelps and his ilk at Westboro Baptist who hold celebrations when our soldiers come back in body bags to be buried here in America. saying that we have a, quote, fag army, and they celebrate the death of these people, which is nothing less than sick. And Fred Phelps and his folks need prayer even more than the people that they attack. That being said, what do you think? If you served in the military, what do you think? If you're a young person in military age, what do you think? If you're listening as a gay, lesbian, identified person, what do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take your calls. Got some interesting updates for you. And we'll have a special guest partway through the program with a special announcement for the North Carolina area. All right, stay with us. Thanks for joining us today, Michael Brown here. I had some different plans for the show today, but with the news just hitting that there's an official move now being set in motion to remove Don't Ask, Don't Tell from the military so that homosexual men and women can serve openly, I thought it was important that we talk about that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown. That's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. I found it interesting. On a related note, there is an article in the Telegraph from England, telegraph.co.uk. A Haiti earthquake, voodoo high priest claims aid monopolized by Christians. Well, this story is out there saying that the evangelicals are getting the aid first and the voodoo people are not getting the aid, etc. But what I found fascinating in the article, they were saying, look, you have a wrong idea of voodoo. We're not sticking pins in people. Although I'd like to talk to some of my friends that have ministered for years in Haiti and see what they've run into. But perhaps mainstream voodoo is going to be different than that. But it's interesting that many of the voodoo practitioners who mix Catholicism with voodoo, so they are talking about God, they claim that God was angry with them. Someone said the earthquake happened because people were sinners, so God was angry. Orthodox Jewish Rabbi Yehuda Levin says, according to the Talmud, homosexual practice is a spiritual cause of earthquakes. By the way, within the Talmud, you find thousands of different opinions and viewpoints. Not everyone is considered authoritative. So I need to look into the background of that a little bit more. But some are warning here. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Levin says. When Americans are suffering economically and millions need jobs, it's shocking that the administration is focused on its ultra-liberal, militantly homosexualist agenda, forcing the highlight of homosexuals and homosexuality on an unwanting military. This is the equivalent of the spiritual rape of our military to satisfy the most extreme and selfish cadre of President Obama's kooky coalition. We agree with Eileen Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness that this will hurt the cohesiveness of the military, causes many to leave the Army, and dramatically lower the number of recruits, perhaps leading to the reinstatement of a compulsory draft. I have to say that it's an extraordinarily odd time to push this right now. With so much controversy within the administration and so much controversy in the nation over the direction the government is going, with jobs and economy supposedly being the big, big issue before us. I mean, it's certainly a major issue on people's minds, but I mean, supposedly in terms of this is what the government's going to focus on. And on top of that, with all the controversy over health reform, etc., why bring in another controversy? I mean, what good reason is there for something this extraordinarily volatile in our culture, and some say that there are not sufficient votes in Congress to pass it, why bring it up? I mean, on that score, I think Rabbi Levin has a good point. Why now? Unless you have either a commitment to the ideology or a commitment to a certain constituency, and you just feel this is something, according to your ideology, you have to push through, but I don't think it could be seen as a politically popular move to make. But let me ask you something. Do you think that if we allow homosexuals to serve openly in the military, again, remember, we're talking about people who want to give their lives patriotically for their country, that they believe in what we're in America on enough of a level to want to go serve. We're just talking in general terms why someone would enlist in the military, and there's no compulsory draft that's needed right now. shouldn't they just be allowed to? Or are we potentially bringing a curse on ourselves? Or is it really going to hurt? By the way, just a request to preserve the ears of our young producer, Josh, just in his 20s. We don't want his ears damaged young, although I almost blew mine out with rock concerts and rock music as a teenager. But thankfully, I'm hearing fine today. I believe I am. But just make sure that when you call in, you got your radios turned down and not blasting so you could actually hear what you're saying. We almost never make that announcement, but making it today. Let me read you a few comments that came in before we get back to the subject on Facebook in response to yesterday's show and the question that was asked, should CBS air a pro-life ad during the Super Bowl? One says they should not air one, they should air many in honor of the many that are murdered daily. Another, can't wait to see. Another, yes, beliefs, opinions are expressed on commercials constantly, so why not? Another, yes, amen. Why not? We get to see beer ads and ads promoted with sexual content. Why can't the pendulum swing the other way? Of course they should, but the mindset of the culture we lived in will be shocked and outraged at this, most likely. I'm sure it is taking a lot of money to add this commercial. Yes, $2.5 million, because that's the only thing TV people think about. Another, you bet they should. It'll go great with all those sexual ads they show. Many women will get pregnant on Super Bowl Sunday while drinking with her male buddies. Maybe they'll remember the ad and let the baby live. Another, absolutely, yes, they should. That ad is making me want to watch this, see this year's Super Bowl more than any other. They should do that whether the Super Bowl is on or not. Maybe it'll get people thinking. Someone else said you need to target the soap operas with this ad and get to the women watching it as opposed to all the men that are going to be drinking and watching the Super Bowl. turns out CBS will be airing an ad for a new video game called Dante's Inferno, where I guess the person that you're controlling goes into hell. And they decided, though, that they wanted the end of the ad changed. The end of the ad said, go to hell, which they thought was inappropriate for their viewership. So it has changed to hell is waiting. Hey, if that's going to air, some kind of demonic video game. Hey, look, I don't know. Could God use it to scare people? Could God use it? Kids get it, and they start playing this game, and they start wrestling with their sins in hell and realize they made a mistake. Hey, God can use it. God can use the devil to accomplish his purposes. We agree with that. But, hey, it's obviously not morality that's driving CBS to air the pro-life ad, is it? Okay, one other thing before I change gears yet again. Testimony that was sent to me by a young man, 28 years old, lived in bondage to homosexuality, drug addiction, alcoholism for years. He said, I kept being drawn to a DVD of yours where you debated with an openly gay minister of some sort. Talking about my debate with Harry Knox, which you can watch free on our website. And you gave such firm yet compassionate teachings on where the word of God stands. I resented and almost hated you for your stance. Yet I couldn't shake your words and unwillingness to waver. Last year in March, I finally pulled a ring off my finger and told God he'd have to do it. And when I did, I met the Holy Spirit. He was just waiting for me to repent, and I wanted to understand everything and why. Before I was willing, God healed me and made me whole at that moment and delivered me from many forms of bondage and opened my eyes. I had no idea you could really get to know him while still on earth. I assumed I'd have to live celibate the rest of my life, and I'm willing if I can just keep God's presence around. But God's put a desire in my heart to have a wife and children in his timing, and that's exciting to me. And he thanks me for unwavering truth with compassion, etc., which was a blessing to hear, and we're sending him some additional resources. But when I said, hey, how did you get the DVD? There was a former student of ours from years back in Florida that had fallen away from the Lord and was living in homosexuality. We sent him this DVD series as a gift, and this happened to be his partner at that time, and he watched it and God touched him. Isn't that cool? All right, we've got a special guest on the other side of the break talking about the Truth Project. Stay with us.
This is the Truth Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Excuse me, 866-34-TRUTH. We've been talking about don't ask, don't tell, should homosexuals be allowed to serve openly in the military, and trying to give you both sides of the argument to think about, because there are two sides, otherwise there wouldn't be a debate. For most of us, there's only one side in terms of our perspective, but there are two sides that need to be considered. And against that backdrop, I want to bring on a special guest, a young man I had the pleasure of meeting in my office some months back, interacting with, and was able to join me on a broadcast. He's involved in something very, very important. And for all of you, wherever you're listening around the country or online around the world, this is an important announcement. But in particular, those in the North Carolina area, I want you to hear this. So, Bill Roach, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on, or having me on today.
Yeah, it's a joy. Now, tell me where you're currently working in North Carolina.
I'm currently working at the North Carolina Family Policy Council, which is located up here in Raleigh. And just like you were talking about today, I mean, there are things that are fighting against the family, and we are here to basically inform the people of the state of North Carolina, and hopefully sometimes outside of the state of North Carolina, of those things that are oppressing the family unit.
Now, in particular, you've been focused on working on the Truth Project. And, of course, you're aware of all the polling data, and then we run into it firsthand with young people and professing Christians, that biblical worldview, being able to explain why things are right and wrong, I mean, that's all but absent in much of the body today. So tell me about the Truth Project and then why it's so important.
Well, the Truth Project is a 13-week small group course that was designed by Dr. Del Tackett from Focus on the Family. And what it was designed to do was to explore the components of a comprehensive Christian worldview. And by doing that, what it tries to do is relay the foundations that are needed in order for a Christian worldview to be true, such as what is truth, is there a Christian ethics, what is humanity. So,
and what do you see in terms of, you talk to, say, your average college-age Christian today, or maybe their parents, and you ask them about things like, is it important to understand God as the creator, or why do you believe the Bible is really God's word, or why do you hold to certain standards? Do you get blank stares, or what kind of responses?
We do. What we find is that when you sit there and you say, well, what do you think about God, or what do you think about God's word, many people actually look at you and say, well, what do you mean by God? Yeah. Why is not the Quran God's word also? So the Truth Project is so essential because Christians believe in one theistic God that created the world, that's separate from the world, and revealed in the Bible.
But what does that matter? Come on, you're just talking theology here. Who cares what kind of God you worship as long as you're a good person? I mean, why does this matter, Bill?
Well, because it doesn't matter just any old God that you think of, because if there is one God, all opposing views are false, and if that one God exists, the Bible reveals him to be just, to be holy. And if we don't account for our sin, we're in trouble. So it is a big deal.
And do you see that it actually works? The worldview someone has, the belief in God, actually affects relationships and family?
Oh, for sure. Take, for instance, one of the big components that was driving from World War II is, as we know, Hitler, he didn't believe in God at all. And from that, he used pretty much Karl Marx and various individuals that would say, for God is dead and we have killed him, how shall we, the murderer of all murderers, comfort ourselves? He took that philosophy, applied it in World War II, and killed millions of people. So it does affect the family. It does affect society in so many respects.
So over the 13 weeks, Bill, what do folks get? What are the main issues covered?
Well, the main issue is, obviously, if it's the Truth Project, we're going to look at what is truth. And truth is that which corresponds to reality. And we want to know, why did God reveal himself in truth? Why did Jesus say that he came to bear testimony to the truth and even call himself the way, the truth, and the life? And after that's been established, we start looking at, what is a Christian ethic? What does that look like in society? How does that affect who man is? And then we start looking at, what is the nature of God? And we look at that through science. We look at that through history. We see how that works in sociology, government, law, the family unit. So after we've established truth exists, God exists, and the Bible's reliable, we work it all out. So,
all right. Now, there's an event that's going to be taking place soon in North Carolina. Could you give our listeners the details on that?
Okay. We're having a Truth Project leadership training this Saturday, February 6th, at Christ Covenant Church. And what it is, in order to get the Truth Project DVDs, you have to go through one of these training seminars. So if you go to our website, www.ncfamily.org, you can register there and show up on Saturday, and you'll get the DVDs and a four-hour training event at Christ Covenant Church.
All right, and is Christ Covenant Church, again, tell us where that is?
That's in Matthews, North Carolina.
Matthews, North Carolina. And the website, ncfam.org?
NC Family, the full
word. NC Family, got it, ncfamily.org. You know, when I say it wrong, then people hear it all the better when it's right. Hey, we've got just a couple minutes before the break. I know you're in doctoral studies now in apologetics. How has the study of apologetics affected your own life? I mean, many of us love study. Some of us would, hey, if I could be in school for life, I'd enjoy it. But what actual impact did it have on your own life, your own walk with God, studying apologetics?
Well, initially, in the society that we live in, people are driven by emotions. I'm driven by emotions, you're driven by emotions. And one of the issues is my heart can't stay where my head can't rest. If my mind can't grab onto the truths of God, when I come under an emotional issue, I'm going to run from it because I don't have any grounding in the nature of who is God and the Christian faith as such. So that's one issue. I think another way that it's greatly affected me is I actually understand the full components of the Christian faith. I don't just believe that there is a God. It helps me understand, well, what do we mean by eternity and infinity and God is sovereign and we are free at that point? Mm. So, but in our greater society, you can't even try to share the gospel today without apologetics. Truly, reason demands that we meet objections. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "For be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have to everyone who asks." And people have questions today, and we're by divine command to give an answer to those questions.
Got it. You know, that line about your heart can't stay where your head can't rest. Is that original with you, or did you get that from someone?
I probably stole that from someone. That's how
it
works.
Well, it's coming from the lips of Bill Roach today. It's a great quote. You know, volume 5 of my series of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus just came out a few days back. That's over 1,500 pages of apologetics to reach Jewish people, but we've seen it as essential. Okay, this Saturday, don't miss the event. Go to ncfamily.org. Bill, thanks so much for joining us today. God bless you and your work.
Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. I hope you're enjoying the blessing of God today. If you don't know him, boy, I would love to introduce you to the living God who created the universe and made himself known to us through his son, Jesus. If you've got questions and you'd rather talk privately, drop me a line, Dr. Brown, Dr. Brown, and ask drbrown.org, and we'll get back to you. It'd be great to interact. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. We started the show, the first half of the hour, talking about don't ask, don't tell. The president's saying that he wants this repealed. And in the military, again, we're talking about whether homosexual men and women should be able to serve openly in the military. And no, I do not agree with it. I don't want to see it repealed. However, I appreciate the fact that people want to serve in the military, and that they have a patriotism that says we want to fight for our country, etc. I think that's something to be appreciated, and I understand their frustration in saying we have to suppress who we are. I'm not unsympathetic to that. I disagree with it for a number of reasons. But I just want to say that I understand there's an issue to be discussed, and I think it's fair to discuss it. You know, and look, can I talk plainly to you? Is that all right? I always do, but I'm just asking you. Okay. Sometimes we can't even talk about things. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, I'm not compromised. I've taken more heat for standing against homosexual activism than anything I've done in my entire life. And when my book comes out, God willing, this year, A Queer Thing Happened to America, trust me, I'll get more hate mail than love mail over that. You know, just go online and watch the clip on Tyra Banks on YouTube. If you missed it, just go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, and you'll be able to just look for the link where we discuss this issue, and you'll be able to watch it. Look on YouTube. There's a lot of profanity. Just try to skip through that, but you see the passion, the hatred, etc., that comes our way. I just think we need to try to see things from someone else's point of view and then tell them why we believe it's wrong, or tell them why we believe our stance is right, or at least understand the issues better. Sometimes we can't even, how can we talk about the Bible? Listen, I know what the Bible says. Here, just today, I went into AT&T to pick up a new phone I'd ordered to upgrade what I currently had. And I paid for something. I was getting something back, and they said it's a refund of $5.41. And I said, Acts 5:41. I said, it's a good verse. You know what it's about. Started talking to the folks there behind the counter, and how the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had, you know, after being flogged, suffering reproach for Jesus' name. I'm quoting Scripture and standing for Scripture constantly. But I think we need to be able to talk about the issues so that we can understand and not just be labeled as Bible beaters, but as people who care and who hold convictions for good reasons. That makes sense to you? All right. Larry in Statesville, thanks for calling. You were in the military, so I'd love to hear your perspective.
Yes, Dr. Mike, I appreciate your show. I'm a truck driver driving through, and I'm really enjoying listening to you. Yes, I was in the military 75 to 84, combat infantry. And there's a perspective here that nobody tends to talk about, and that's the bottom line perspective of unit effectiveness. For the small combat unit, putting a social experiment like gays into it in a place where men's lives are at stake is playing with death. The military, the small combat infantry unit, is a cohesive unit made up of young men who are working. There's a machismo there. Young men are trying to grow into the men and develop into the men they see themselves being. And there is a definition of manhood that everybody in that unit has to achieve to be accepted. And if they're accepted, they know they can be dependent on. Others know that they can be dependent on. If they're not accepted, they're not going to last long. And for the sake of any homosexual who's thinking about joining the military, do not go into a combat arms, because you won't make it. In the units I was in, he would have died before he even got the front line.
And that's
just the way it is.
Now, it's not a matter of, we're not talking about some broad generalization that the person is effeminate or this or that, but just, you're saying even if they were strong, tough, macho, but they were known to be homosexual,
yes, there's
erotically
and
romantically attracted to other men, yes, that would be a stigma on them.
A very strong stigma. When I was in, that very stigma, I saw guys beat to a pulp. There was old guys beat them to a pulp just for joking about it. You know, there's a definition of manhood in some of those units that they want to know that they can depend on you. And if you don't meet that their definition of manhood, then in their mind, they can't depend on you when the going gets tough. And so it's a weak link in the chain that's not going to survive. And that's just the bottom line, combat cohesiveness in the small infantry unit.
All right. Hey, Larry, thank you for the call, and safe driving.
My pleasure, and I enjoyed the show.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk about that, lest you think we're condoning beating people up because they're gay. Larry's just talking about some harsh realities. We'll talk about that when we come back. Thanks for being with us on the Line of Fire today. By the way, just an alert, programming alert, that I'm going to try to do one extra day this week. If you've got questions, we've got answers. because I've got so many fascinating questions. I didn't do that last Friday like I normally do. So God willing, this Friday and perhaps either tomorrow or Thursday. So if you've got some questions you want to call in with, don't email me a new question because we won't be getting into it this week. But if you'd like to call in, be on the alert, certainly Friday, but hopefully either tomorrow or Thursday. We'll take an extra day for You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. And I got a stack, growing stack. Okay, a couple of things. Our last caller was not saying, at least as I understood him, that, hey, it's a good, you're a homosexual, you're in the military, you're in certain units, we don't judge you to be a real man, we're going to beat you up, you might die from our hands rather than enemy hands, and that's just the way it is, as if this is a positive thing or something that Christians should embrace. He's simply saying that's the way it is in a lot of military units, and a lot of military men are not going to take kindly to having someone serving openly as an open homosexual. And someone said, that's homophobic. Whether it's homophobic or not, okay, was not the point of the call. The point of the call was, this is ill-advised in the military. Okay, that was the point of the call. So God forbid you're thinking that we're advocating violence against homosexual men and women. God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. He's simply calling as a military man, saying, hey, that is my perspective, having served in the military. There are other issues, of course, to be discussed. But the question is this the time now to be trying to push a whole new mindset on the military and change people's thinking in the military? Is this the time for it? Okay. I'll see if I can squeeze in one more call. Okay, let me try to do this, and I just want to share one more thing with you as the clock is ticking. All right, Steve in Kaysville, Utah, we're a little short on time, so try to make your comments brief. Thank you.
Yes, sir, real quick. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, this is they're not dealing with it as it is. This is a behavioral issue. And to first of all, take it and make it something else, I believe goes against what's inside of us, whether we be Christian or not, because the man that called regarding gays or individuals getting hurt by these young men that are putting, you know, that are considering putting their own lives on the line. Mm-hmm. There are people that die in boot camp just from the questions of what is going on in another individual's mind or life that they have to rely on, and they don't want to put themselves in that situation. And, you know, be a Christian or non-Christian, they end up making a decision on how they're going to react. I don't agree with that, but we're not talking about a Christian issue. We're talking about a behavioral issue and the military, whether they, you know, accept it or push it on the society or not, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, thanks for sharing that concisely, and I understand the issues loud and clear. Thank you, sir. And look, here's the other thing. If someone wants to serve in the military and not openly engage in homosexual practice, then why do I have to identify themselves as such? If they want to serve it in the military, that means with other men. Isn't that an issue to the other men there that may be uncomfortable with that? And morale issues come up. So there's a lot to talk about. Okay. I'm holding in my hands now at long last Volume 7 of the Expositor's Bible Commentary, the Revised Edition, 550 pages of which has my commentary in the book of Jeremiah, which is one of the joys of my life to work on this for years, to live with Jeremiah, to pour myself into the text and hopefully convey the heart and mind burning words of a prophet. I'd really encourage you to get this if you like to study the word. Just go to our website, askdrbrown.org. In fact, it's a beautiful hardcover volume. Just to do something special, we'd say, hey, we'll autograph for you, not charge you anything extra for that. So we'd love to send out some of these books to you. Go to our website, askdrbrown.org. It's right on the homepage. If you don't have the series Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, all five volumes are out. Go for it. All right, we will be back with you tomorrow. You have an awesome day in Jesus.
This is the Truth Radio Network.